Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
The myriad of conversations we've had with key players within the investment and insurance space in South Africa, and of course understanding the role and importance of financial planners, all of us are well aware that fundamentally planning and saving for our retirement is critical to make sure that we can retire quite comfortably, especially in a world where we are living a lot longer. Primarily as well when it comes to women. But how do we make sure that we can have a sustainable and successful retirement income? And that differs for everyone, depending on the kind of lifestyle choices you choose to make, where it is that you choose to retire, if you will still continue working in retirement, and what managing the risks around this all looks like. The truth is, we'd like to all be forever 21, but at some point in time, time evolves and we age gracefully. We might be young at heart, but there will be needs and requirements that we will have at a much more mature stage of life. See how diplomatic I'm being? Yep. But Head of Assurance at Allan Gray, Richard Carter, joins us now to give us a more clear understanding of how best it is that we can attain and achieve sustainable retirement income. Richard, such a pleasure to have you with us on the show, sir.
It's really great to be with you this evening.
Definitely. I don't want to use the word old because I think that if that seems to frustrate and offend everyone, right? And as I've been describing, we might be young at heart, but we'll be mature in terms of experience. And fundamentally, there are key risks that we need to make sure that we avoid in terms of our retirement saving. And maybe let's just start there, highlighting the importance and the need for adequate retirement savings for a much more comfortable life in our future.
Sure, thanks. I think that's a good place to start. I think the really key risk when you retire and are no longer generating an income is the risk that you run out of money before you run out of life. Mm. You want your money to live longer than you, or at least as long as. That's the real risk, but that's a bit simplistic. There's a few things that feed into that. Obviously, you need to have enough money to live off. That's the first thing. If you retire without enough assets, you're in trouble before you even get started. And then the risk you need to worry about is, you know, and it sounds funny to call this a risk, but living too long. People think about their life expectancy and how long they might live on average, but a good number of people are going to live a lot longer than that. And if you're one of them, you need to prepare for that. The next risk is inflation. You know, it's all very well living off a certain level of income. If that doesn't keep up with inflation every year, mm-hmm. you can still be in trouble, especially after a few decades. And then underpinning all of that, just to keep it complicated, is investment return. You know, wherever you have your money, you need to make sure that it's growing enough to counteract those first two risks, the risk mm-hmm. of living too long and the risk of inflation eating away at your money.
100%. I think there's a wonderful line you use there: don't run out of money before you run out of life. And that does speak to a myriad of themes that need to be managed and adequately controlled in terms of planning adequately for retirement planning. So maybe talk to us as to how best it is that one can manage these concerns in terms of the risks that you've highlighted: inflation, life expectancy, investment return, and of course time, because the sooner you start, the better the potential outcomes, right?
Sure. I mean, the answer is different depending where you're at and what you should be worried about. You know, if you're young and you've got many years to go, then the important thing is to start planning for it and start saving for retirement. If you're not saving anything, you know, the ship's not moving, there's not much you can do. You need to get going. And so starting early enough with a plan, sticking to that plan, and that plan should include a sensible level of or amount of savings and a sensible place that money is invested. And then sticking to the plan through one's employment life and trying to avoid dipping into the assets which are meant for the future, you know, for short-term pressures. And we all have short-term pressures. You know, life really gets in the way while you're making plans. And it's really important to try and navigate those and not deplete the retirement savings before you get to retire, because that's what they're there for. Mm. So I would say, you know, for people who are not yet at the retirement, those are the things to the key ingredients. Obviously, once you're already there and you've retired, well, then it's a whole different set of things to think about. How are you investing that money? One of the things that people you know, as they get older, is that, and maybe not true for everyone, but many people tend to get more conservative. You know, they worry about the risk. Mm. And many older people have investment portfolios or in the broader sense that are too conservative and actually not going to provide the growth that is needed to live for potentially or to fund them for potentially another 20, 30 yes. or even more years. You can't really sustainably combat inflation and fund, you know, living for 30 years with an investment portfolio that's, you know, too conservative. It's just not going to produce the returns you need.
Oh, you're tickling my brain cells, because this is when we speak to some of your peers and the portfolio managers to actually ask about their investment strategies for someone who might be in their 60s. And typically that might mean, you know, still being overweight equities because of the growth prospects that might come through there. So as you can tell.
I mean, I'm not a portfolio manager. I don't manage the portfolios, but I'm looking at it. And also somebody who wants to retire one day and live off the money and do sensible things. You know, I'm not really commenting on whether now's a good time to have more equities or less equities or more offshore or whatever. I think what's far more important is to have a plan with an appropriate, you know, selection of investments that meet your needs, and then that you've chosen the manager wisely, and if that's the case, the advisor to assist you. You've got a good advisor and you've allocated the money to good asset managers, and you've given them the right mandate. It's no good going to whatever the manager is and saying, please invest this on a really conservative basis. I can't have any volatility in returns. You know, basically you're telling them to put it in interest and money market, whatever. And then expect to get, you know, real returns of 4 or 5% above inflation. You just can't do it. So you have to start by giving them a mandate, investing in a fund that has the potential to give you that kind of growth. Which does involve equities and offshore and more risky things, and it does mean the investment is going to go up and down in value over time. But for the long term, that's the only way you're going to generate the kind of returns that you need to fund the income.
Definitely. And if I'm understanding you correctly, this all goes back to understanding what your goals and objectives are. That gives you an understanding of what and how much to save for, and then actually working with a financial advisor to guide you along the right strategy. Otherwise, if you don't know what the goalposts are, you're not on track to actually meet the target. And might be fluctuating. There's another important aspect that we touched on, Richard, and that's, of course, age. The younger you have, the more opportunity you have to save for your retirement and navigate the risks that might be associated with market trends. But help us understand, for someone who's very near to retirement, this is typically when there's a heightened sense of angst, anxiety, uncertainty, you know, if they'll have enough. Talk to us as to what considerations those savers need to keep in mind.
Right. So, and that's an excellent question. For people in that situation, there's some real stock taking that needs to occur. You know, hopefully that this is a step along the way, and we're talking about revisiting existing plans and checking that you're still on track. But as you get closer and closer to, you know, a desired or even enforced retirement, you need to look at how you're doing on those plans. What sort of assets do you have? What sort of income do you need? Some people need to make very hard choices because they just haven't got enough saved. And then it's going to be questions of, well, how can we live off less? How can we adjust our budget? That's not always possible. But those are the things that you need to start thinking about sooner rather than later, when you've been living beyond your means, and then you're in an even worse position. So making sure that you've got a good understanding of what it is you need to live off and what it is that the assets that you've got can support, and marrying those two things up. And if you prepared well and planned well and the assets are more than you need, well, wonderful. Then you've got some room to breathe and you've got, you know, as we say, the luxury of choice. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the opposite situation where, you know, the assets, there's a shortfall and there's a big gap, you've got to be careful, because there might be a temptation to take more risk to try and make up the shortfall, and that can even end up in tears. Usually, you know, the things that people in that position have to consider is, can I delay retirement? Can I work a bit longer, give myself a little bit more time to save more money? Are there other sources of maybe part-time income that I'm going to need to supplement, or can I just live off less and make hard choices and savings? you can't magic the problem away and just whatever it is, let's say make the retirement income 50% more by just being smart with your money, because typically if you're making smart choices anyway, the only way to generate a little bit more return is take on even more risk, and that can get you into trouble, because now you're taking off more risk and you're living off the money, and that can put you in a squeeze, so you want to avoid that.
Very true. Richard, on that note, I can't let you go without, evaluating how one does go about determining what an appropriate level of income would be for them at a point of retirement. And this is largely for people who are closer to retirement. I recall when my parents went into retirement, they had all these debates around a living annuity versus a guaranteed life annuity versus, limitations on payouts. And maybe let's clarify that, just in case one of our listeners might be at this point in their life and slightly confused by the terminology.
I'll have a go at it, but it starts to get complicated, and trying to unpack it in a bite size is tricky. But in very simple terms, a living annuity, that's just a name for it. But what it really is, a pot of money that you invest and draw income from, right? And the pot of money can grow or shrink with investment returns, and obviously shrink with the money you draw out. You can set how much you take within limits. There's a minimum and a maximum. And if you take the minimum then and you invest it well, then typically the pot will grow. And if you're wealthy enough to be in that position where you can put your money in the living annuity, take the minimum, watch the pot grow, and have enough to live off, well, that's wonderful. But that, unfortunately, is a very small minority of South Africans who retire in that position. So typically what happens is people tend to have to draw more. If you're living only off a living annuity, that's all of your money, and you have to draw more than 4% at the beginning, then you need to think really carefully about your choices. If you can draw 4 or less, then a living annuity is brilliant. Put the money in a living annuity, draw 4 or less, increase your income with inflation every year, invest it well, and have a lovely life. That's great. For some people, then they're not in that position to be able to do that. So another option is a guaranteed annuity. And that's where you go to an insurer and you say, you know what, I don't want the risk of this pot of money going up and down, and I can't only draw 4, I need to draw more. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is give you all my capital, Mr. Insurer, and in exchange, you give me a guaranteed amount of money. Mm-hmm. The key difference there is, because you've given your capital to an insurer and it's guaranteed for the rest of your life, A, it doesn't matter how long you live. If you live for 40 years, they will pay you your income on the terms and conditions for 40 years. If you chose an income that goes up with inflation, well, then your income will go up with inflation for 40 years. Wonderful. So it takes a lot of risk away, but also all your capital is now gone. Mm. It's been given to the insurer. And so if you die after 3 years, well, there's nothing left, because that capital is being used to pay other people who are in a similar product. And so that can be a better arrangement for someone who has less capital at retirement, things are tight, and they could possibly get, depending on their age, and you made a remark earlier about females living longer than males and all the rest of it. Mm. So depending on your specific circumstances, you could get, let's say, 8% as an annuity. I don't know what annuity rates are at the moment, so please don't hold me to that. I certainly haven't checked the quotes, but it will be a higher number than what you could take from a living annuity. But the trade-off is you obviously won't leave any capital behind, you use it all up, and those are sort of two choices, and basically the choices that retirees have got to do with their retirement capital.
100%. Richard, you couldn't have put it better. It was a perfect synopsis to a bite-sized conversation, but again, also intriguing for retirees and those who are close to the age of retirement to bear in mind that in as much as this might feel overwhelming and complex, but the truth is it always goes back to identifying a bespoke approach and what actually best suits one's individual's needs. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Richard. There's so much more we could explore. We haven't even touched on the two-pot system, and again, because, again, as we know, there's a lot of confusion and murkiness and no clarity. clarity for well, as to how that will
I'll
work,
be,
right?
I'd be glad to come back to chat about that some other time. Thank you very much. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That's Richard Carter, Head of Assurance at Allan Gray, joining us this evening to help us understand how to achieve sustainable retirement income. And again, I'm well aware that some of these themes and concepts can be overwhelming and never enough time for us to fit into these brief interview slots that we have. But all the more important to make sure that when you speak to your financial advisor, when you go through the various financial products that you have, dig deeper in terms of understanding how much will I have? Will it be enough? Does it suit my lifestyle? How do I want to be paid out? Which particular opportunities and can I explore? And what does it mean and call for in terms of your responsibility as an individual, not only in terms of payments, disclosures, but of course the discipline that you also need to have when it comes to managing your money effectively. Oh man, it's overwhelming, but it's not impossible to conquer.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.